141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point of another busy few days across Scottish football. The latest VAR review is out with 10 mistakes judged to have been made in the latest round of fixtures. Derek McInnes gives his reaction to his Manager of the Year nomination, and a big couple of days coming up in the Youth Cup final, of course, and the SWPL as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley. What are you two chuckling at already?
It's normally little and large, but it's even littler than large tonight. Why am I sitting so low?
You're not, your chair's the same height as mine.
For anyone who's watching in the live stream, there is either a chair malfunction or you are much smaller than Marvin. Well, he is smaller than you.
He is, exactly.
Yeah, but not that smaller. Someday we'll need to sort this chair in the break.
Anyway, you're still proudly representing the Queen of the South tracksuit. You've been working hard. The end of the season is nigh, for you particularly, but it's just heating up in the top flight, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. As you said, Gordon, it's all about the top flight now. Business end of the season, as they always say. Obviously, it's important for Rangers to drop no more points and Celtic, and then, you know, head into that big one when they play against each other, one that we're looking forward to. But I just want to touch on the managers seeing nominated for Manager of the Year. Absolutely fantastic to see. I seen Derek McInnes' interview today. He said that Tony Docherty had actually called him and he hadn't picked up the phone. He said he can't shake him. But no, what a fantastic season both of them have had, and obviously John at Falkirk as well, you know, about to complete the Invincibles if they remain undefeated on Saturday. So well done to all of them.
And has a man who has been sunning himself in Qatar recently managed to keep up with what's been going on?
Just about. Good. Just about, yeah. I watched the Celtic game from afar in Doha at the weekend, and as the big man says, it's heating up nicely. I think Celtic got over the line with that one without being over impressive, but at this stage of the season, it's all about just getting the points in the bag.
0141 951 1025. Come on then, what are you thinking tonight? Put your point to Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly. In terms of today's news, well, the latest review into VAR decisions is out. Remember, this independent panel set up, made up of like ex-pros, managers, coaches, that sort of thing. An independent panel who assess the Scottish FA's VAR decisions and rule on how many they think, you know, were incorrect. I think you may remember we did it after the first round of fixtures, you know, after every team had played each other, and I think there was three and everyone said, yeah, right, that's far too low. And then we had a good bit more in the previous round. Well, this time it's 10. Some high profile incidents in there as well. So I wonder if you have any thoughts on those, as I suspect you might. 0141 951 1025. It feels like every night at the moment, it doesn't really matter what's in the news because the title race is just hanging over everyone. So what's on your mind tonight could be anything at all regarding that. People last night were already thinking about next season and what players should leave and what players should stay and who needs what. I'll take more of that if you so wish. And it is award season ongoing throughout this week. So any more thoughts on Player of the Year, Manager of the Year, whatever you like, 0141 951 1025. It is going to be a blockbuster couple of weeks, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It is, Gordon. It really, really is. As we said, you know, both of the big two kind of going at it. It's fantastic for the Scottish game. I keep saying this, but when you have a title race, listen, people who support Celtic and Rangers might not think the same. They want their teams to be clear. But for the game to grow, you need things like this. You need it going down to the wire. You know, you need two teams going neck and neck. And it's been that. Listen, have they both been at their free-flowing best for the whole season? No. You know, both, I think managers will get to the end of the season, whether they win the championship or not, and say there's room for improvement, definitely. I think fans will say the same. But to watch it from afar, as I said, as a neutral, it's absolutely brilliant. And I really can't wait. Hopefully they both remain, you know, getting 3 points until they play each other. And then it's all on that game, really.
Did you manage to watch Dundee Celtic from Qatar?
Yes.
I'm sure you did. Doing your homework as well.
Yeah, we were in, I'm going to give it a plug, the Shamrock Tavern. We were in there.
They have bigger chairs than you got today.
Sorry?
Did they have bigger chairs than you got today?
Taller chairs than this one I'm sitting in.
It feels like the theme of the weekend from, I mean, I think overall, if you zoom out a bit, Celtic would be more informed than Rangers, just based on the recent results. I mean, yeah. But both sort of seem, judging by these phone lines, came out of the weekend with the points, but not much else. That's what the callers have all been saying.
Yeah, but I sat with some Celtic fans there and said that's all that matters at this stage of the season. Rangers would have felt the same just hours before. And as Marv says, yes, for the nerves of the Rangers and Celtic fans out there, it would be much better if one or the other was well ahead. But I find it exciting. It's exciting. And, you know, everybody will be focused on it again this weekend. Celtic at home at Hearts. Rangers now have to wait to the Sunday to play Kilmarnock, which gives it another dynamic if Celtic get the positive result on the Saturday. And then it's the big one next week. So it's very exciting. And yes, it quite possibly could go down to the wire.
I get both sides of it. That whole, it's all about results at this point of the season, Marvin. The other side is, okay, but if we play like that, can we keep the results up? That's natural for fans' minds to go there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like I said, we're especially supporting rather Celtic and Rangers, because I don't think just winning games is enough. You know, I think they do want to see their teams play with a certain style, etc. But at this point, you know, the worry would be if you go into the game playing against each other and none of you are actually playing well, you won't go in with as much confidence as I think both teams went in last time. But yeah, listen, it's about picking up 3 points. If you can win the league, nobody remembers the kind of performances you had along the way. But if you fail to win the league, that's when the trouble starts.
Come on then, 01419511025. That is the number that you need. What are your thoughts on the title race? What are your thoughts on manager of the year, player of the year? These are like the ongoing themes of the week. The breaking news today is this VAR review. It's everyone's favourite topic to argue about, and tonight's one of those nights. Let's hopefully not do it from wall to wall between now and 8 o'clock, but step up to the plate. 10 mistakes according to the VAR's independent review panel. If you've read them already, just pick up the phone right now, tell us what you think. Did they get them right? Did they get them wrong? What does it say about the overall picture? If not, I'll explain to you in the coming minutes what they are, and you can react accordingly. What are your thoughts on VAR now at this stage of the season? So I think what's really important is a reminder of what this is, because we always lose sight of this. This is an independent review panel, because last season when the Scottish FA came up with their stats, everybody said, oh, you're marking your own homework. Ludicrous. This is an independent review panel. It's made up of 3 people. I think that 3-person panel changes though. Former pros, coaches, managers, for all we know, you two could be on it. I don't think you are. And they're guided by someone, an expert in the laws of the game, so to speak. So, on this occasion, I won't go through all 10 right now. Some of the highlights, if you want to call them that for us, is that Rangers should have had Dujon Sterling's red card against Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. That should not have been a red card in the eyes of this independent review panel. And the penalty that they conceded against Kilmarnock, John Lundstrom handball, that should not have been a penalty in the eyes of the panel. Yeah. Celtic, the unsurprising game that's been the focus of this for Celtic is that game at Tynecastle, where the panel judged that Celtic should not have had a penalty for the challenge on Kyogo, and Hearts should not have had the penalty for the Iwata handball. They did stand by that Yang red card though. They feel that the Yang red card was correct. And like I say, I'm not going to list all 10 just now. Incidentally, St Mirren would be the hardest done by out of this. They're the ones that have suffered the most, according to the independent review panel. So I think it's always interesting when these come out, Marvin. I always will put that boring bit in. We're still talking about subjective decisions. This is a panel of people who, in theory, know the game and are guided, but it's still their opinion. It can't be set in stone. It can't be concrete when you're dealing with matters of subjectivity and opinion. But it is interesting. It puts a bit of makes it sound a bit official when we say, well, that was wrong and that was right.
Yeah, it does. And you know, fair play to the SFA for, you know, kind of allowing people to know what the results of this are when, like you said, there's 10 mistakes being made. But I think, you know, in terms of the game at Tynecastle that they're speaking about, the 2 penalties, you know, when Celtic were playing there, I think everyone's in agreement with those. But listen, it's still good to hear. VAR, there is still kind of teething problems, and there always is going to be. In England, they've got more money doing it, and you see Everton v Nottingham Forest, I think, the other day, which was ludicrous, you know, with 3 penalty kicks not given. So,
and they've done something similar. Howard Webb came out, didn't he, and admitted that Nottingham Forest should have had a penalty within that game. So this type of model is happening elsewhere, but We'll let them worry about that.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think it's good. I think it can only be a good thing. And like you said, they've got the independent panel that look through them and, you know, people have played the game, etc. Because, listen, some referees or majority of referees actually haven't. So I think it is important to have these things. And it's important for referees to learn as well. You know, they might pick up things that the players are now saying or ex-managers or coaches are saying where they can take, you know, forward.
Mm. But what do you think then? 10 mistakes according to the independent review panel this time. I think it was 13 the last time and 3 in the first review. So 26 for the season. For our sanity, maybe let's try and do the mistakes from this review rather than going over the ones from the previous. But it is up to you. What do you make of that? 01419511025. Gary is on the line. How are you, Gary?
Not bad, Gordon. Yourself?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, Gordon. Simon, Marvin.
Hey, Gary, mate.
I was watching the Celtic game at the weekend there, and I think the referees is just an absolute shambles at the weekend there with Joe Hart's time-wasting book that he got. I don't think that's very fair because I've watched other games before, and not just Celtic. I mean, like Motherwell now, and it's happened with them, and they've not got booked, and Joe Hart got the book. So what did the panel think?
Yeah, I had a feeling this VAR discussion would just open the floodgates to every disciplinary gripe we've got. You know, obviously that's slightly different, but Joe Hart was booked for time wasting. Gary feels that's inconsistent. I feel like that is on. Not. I don't even need to talk about Joe Hart.
Yeah,
it's just always inconsistent. Referees just reach a kind of breaking point in some games and they don't seem to in others. Is that your feeling on it?
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. I think it's probably the most inconsistent law that they uphold in football, because like you said, sometimes a goalkeeper or, you know, a team will get 5 or 6 warnings. Sometimes it's 1 warning and there's a booking. So, yeah, listen, it all depends on kind of what mood the referee is in. But if he's warned him once already and, you know, feels that a booking's going to stop him from doing it, then he has to do it. But I agree with Gary that it's a tough one, because you're always going to feel hard done by when your goalkeeper or your player gets a booking for it. But the opposition, you know, you probably see many teams go to Celtic Park and time wasted and not get bookings for it.
Yeah, it's unusual, I would say, for a Celtic goalkeeper to be accused of wasting time, because usually they're the ones that are on the ascendancy. But just with the situation of the game at the weekend, it is one of those ones, if you catch the referee in the wrong mood, I don't think Joe Hart will be too worried about it, put it that way, because I think, seeing the game out there, you know, Dundee getting a goal back into it at that time, Celtic had to see the game out by whatever way, so I don't think he'll be too concerned about it.
I think it's quite sporadic. I think I saw it pointed out, Zach Hemmings, St Mirren keeper, he's been booked a few times for time wasting this season. Sometimes it happens. Look, it's not to say it's not a valid talking point. Of course it is. If Gary's frustrated, then so be it. It feels like we've got bigger worries when you look at some of the VAR decisions and that list today and standards that we really need to drive. It would be great if we could get uniform consistency on goalkeepers who are time wasting, but maybe other bigger issues to fix first.
Yeah, there is definitely bigger issues to fix. But even on that, Simon makes a good point. It's not something that you normally associate with Celtic, and that's probably why it's been, you know, the referees thought, no, hang on a minute, you know, you can't be getting away with this. But yeah, there is definitely bigger fish to fry, and there's more things that need ironing out. I'm sure the, you know, head of referees, whoever's coming in to do it next, won't be too worried about, you know, the time wasting.
Gary, in that review today, there was some that involved your team. The headlines would be that this panel felt that it was right to send Yang off at Tynecastle. Do you agree with that?
Well, Brute High and avoided his head down as well, gone. But it's another thing I'd like to see if Simon and Marvin would have a word on as well. There's been a couple of keepers, when they come out to the 18-yard box, and see when they've kicked the ball, they're standing outside the 18-yard box with their hands still on the ball. So do you think they should get booked for that? Because they're outside the box.
I think Gary's got it in for goalies. I've noticed the theme. Gary's overlooking everything. He's got it against the goalies. See, for what it's worth, again, I do think he's right. It's a pretty small time offence, and like, how does it really impact the game? And so
I remember doing a game at Celtic.
I've always wondered, why do goalies bother? Why did they take the risk to get what an extra half?
There was a game, I forget who it was against, at Celtic Park, and the commentator was picking up on it, and it's a half yard. It's the motion takes you outside the box. But
anyway,
again, are we going to Are we going to go to bar for that sort of
thing? No, I can make my peace with it. It's one of those when you're at the game, you're like annoyed, yeah. But in the big picture of this VAR and Sweden have ditched VAR, and should we do the same? And England are having issues with it and game changing decisions. Let those daft goalies do what they want, up to a point. Thanks to Gary for sharing his thoughts. If you have any on that VAR independent review panel, easy for me to say. Do get your thoughts in. Let's run through a couple of those headline ones then. Start on Celtic since Gary was on. Shouldn't have been a penalty to Hearts. Shouldn't have been a penalty to Celtic. They're happy enough, content enough that Yang was right. How do you look back on them?
I think the Yang one's still harsh. I know you'll tell me it's the letter of the law.
It's quite an important
factor. And I've
played
at a different era, but I still think it's harsh. I think he's went to get the ball. They'll argue it's dangerous play. The other two, Kyogo's is, he tries to get his body in front. He does it before. It's possibly a soft one. The other one, again,
the thing about the Kyogo one, because there is contact there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a contact though.
That's what I was going to. It depends how much you lean into that. It's not like it's a, like, you know, there's daylight between them, and then, like, I wonder, because there are levels to this, right? This is the independent review panel's thoughts on it. Some of these decisions, well, I'm almost certain that referees will be standing by them. Standing by them, sorry. You know, this panel can say, I think they got that one wrong, I think they got that one wrong. The relevant referee might be sitting tonight and going, nope, disagree with that. I still think I got that right. And I'm not saying that's one of them, but just as an example.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard, like, if we're talking about that one there, I actually thought the free kick was the other way when I was watching the game. I genuinely thought, because obviously, like you say, Kyogo goes across and he initiates a contact as a player. I can't remember, is it Cochrane who's running back, whoever it was? I actually thought it was a free kick in the other direction. But like you say, a penalty was given. But the referee might look at it and say, do you know what? Yeah, like you said, Gordon, I am right with it. The Yang one, I agree with Simon, though. I think...
The Yang?
Yeah. I don't think it is a sending off. And like you said, I think the player ends up putting his head into his boot. So if it's the other way around and, you know, Yang kicks out and, you know, but I think the player comes towards him. So I think that is a harsh one. But the two penalty kicks, I'm in total agreement with the
other penalty. The other penalty for me is ridiculous. It's ridiculous because it comes... And the worry with that thing is, so you've got this independent review panel, or whatever you want to call them, and you suggest there's ex-pros involved in that.
Well, there definitely are.
Right, there is. So bring them in, because that should have went to VAR that day, and that should never have been a penalty.
The ex-pros on that panel also think that Yang was a red card, though. I don't think there's a blanket
two or three
way
right,
of,
though. We're happy with
I
that
I know but I think it would help the referees,
but maybe, because all I hear you ex-pros saying is, I know it's the laws of the game, but That's quite a problematic statement.
Yeah, that is a problematic statement. But if
I get pulled over speeding tonight, right, and I'm doing 35, I'm just going to say, but I think you'll find
I was driving really safely.
It should be 35, not 30 miles an hour, officer. Look, I get it, and I think there's room for that.
We go on to the Rangers Kilmarnock one with handball. I've said handball needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
Some of the managers have said that.
I'm obviously half joking, because I totally agree. But I think we need to just be careful, because I'm hearing that a lot. Of, I know it's the laws of the game, but, and that's just difficult to negotiate.
I think it's hard to say something's dangerous play when you put your foot up to control the ball. Like, at some point in the game, you know, if you see the ball up there and you want to bring the ball down, you're going to put your foot up. So that doesn't automatically mean dangerous play. You know, if I run in towards you, Gordon, with my studs up, that's dangerous play.
We're seeing a level of, and again, I always say this, Roger Hanna and I debate this, consistency doesn't exist, because no two incidents is exactly the same, and what you think is the same, I might not, and so on. But I feel like we're seeing at least a bit of similarity. Take Jack Vale at the weekend.
Yeah.
It's not the same as Yang's. It's not, but in the sense that he's trying to play the ball, his foot's up, and therefore they kind of just look at the end outcome, don't they? So, okay, studs hit Jack McKenzie in the leg. Don't care where you're looking. Don't care if you tried to play the ball. Don't care if you did play the ball.
Yeah.
Endangering opponent, red card. Motherwell appeal that failed. It feels like those are now just pretty much always going to be reds.
Yeah.
Whether you guys feel you would be hard done by in that situation or not.
Yeah, because that's another one. That's a good example of one. Again, I think the players...
It's kind of similar, isn't
it? Yeah, he's looking at the ball. He's trying to control the ball that's going out. And
but what does that end up doing, Gordon? Does that end up discouraging players to even lift to control a ball?
And I get that, but then you're in the realms of, okay, we need to get IFAB to change the wording of that rule, which is, we don't have power to do anything, never mind that. But although Scotland has a seat at the IFAB table, so keep your calls coming then. Any thoughts on that VAR list that was issued today? I'll run through some more of them if you missed them, but 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here on 0141 951 1025, reflecting on that story today. The independent VAR review panel had a look at the last round of fixtures. They believed 10 mistakes were made across that period. I wonder how you feel about that list. David Healy's tweeted to say, not only have St Mirren been the worst affected this time, it's been all season. What makes it worse is we appealed the Bolton red card and it was upheld, so the appeal board got it wrong as well. It's a shambles. This is where the confusion, I guess, comes in. But on the other hand, would you have it any other way? Because what is wrong? You know, we keep saying this, this idea of right and wrong on subjective decisions. David says the appeal board got it wrong and the independent review panel got it right. It might be the other way around, depending what way you look at it. And that is jarring, though. I get that. That is jarring. If you say, hold on a minute, how come that failed an appeal and therefore the independent review panel see it another way? The really sort of boring answer, which won't satisfy anyone, is, well, at least the review panel is a fresh set of eyes. It almost has to do that. Otherwise,
so they're obviously the objective of the panel is to try and improve the whole situation of VAR.
So I mean, but it can.
When these things come out, it just heightens the emotion.
Yeah,
frustration,
and that's the problem. Yeah, exactly.
You
know,
the
wonder
fans
the point.
That have, you know, fell victim.
Because it has to be a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you three over there are on the judicial panel for the appeals, and you three over there are on this independent review panel, of course you might see it differently. Yeah. You just might, because that's inevitable.
Here's one for you. What stops them all being in the same room together, say when people are appealing stuff, and you have maybe an ex-pro or an ex-coach or an ex-manager that sits actually on that panel?
I think that would
help.
Because on the appeals panel?
Yeah, on the actual appeals panel. I wonder if that would help going forward. But like you said there, it's one of those things that, you know, as an ex-player, and Simon will be the same, that I've gone into plenty of tackles when I know what I'm doing. And you can see that in a player. How often do you watch a game of football? They know what they were doing.
Yeah.
And if you've not played the game, it's probably a lot more difficult to understand that.
But then I think that's probably why the wording of most of the laws of the game in recent years, you'll see it's been tweaked over time, where intent is just, it's just never mentioned. It's just it's just not relevant. That's why they've done it, because you end up amateur psychology. You meant that. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yeah.
So, even like,
so that's why it's
stuff,
all that, it's all outcome based rather than intent based, the way that they've been worded in recent seasons, isn't it?
Yeah. No, definitely. But like excessive force, for example, or the players followed through there. There's certain tackles good.
Well, funnily enough, I think Gary might be on a similar theme. What do you think, Gary?
Ty, Gordon, evening, Marvin and Simon.
Evening, mate.
I get it.
It's pretty much just what Marvin's been saying there. And I actually mentioned this a couple of months ago, and I'm sure it was Simon who was on the panel the same night, and I mentioned it about getting ex-pros in as part of the VAR team, just to add a bit of kind of an experienced kind of viewpoint to it. Just kind of maybe telling these refs who haven't played the game at professional level before, no, that's a consequence of this. And you know, just that kind of, the kind of realism, the players know, because they've been in the situation probably many times. I just think it would help out, make some of these decisions made acceptable for the fans. Because again, some of the decisions, it's just like, how can you stop hitting a player when you're sliding into a tackle and you've won the ball, etc. It's just, I think the experience of an ex-pro there would probably help. On all panels, by the VR panel, the appeals panel.
This VR panel we're talking about does have ex-pros on it. That's the point. That's what it's made up of. I totally get the logic of it. I just I wonder about the difference, the way that, like I said, you guys all say it's the laws of the game, so there would need to be unfortunately you're allowed to hate the laws of the game, you're allowed to think they're nonsense, but it's the only framework in which you can make those decisions.
You can still be directed though, so you know, there could be a referee there or whoever sits there and they direct in terms of what's happening and they say at the end, I believe this is excessive force, he didn't need to go in like that. But as a player, you can say, well, I've been in that situation, I've lived this. You do have to go in like, because first you're protecting yourself. He hasn't gone through and followed through to hurt anybody. Yeah. He's made a firm tackle. It's a massive, massive... I've done both.
Again, though, and this... I kind of hate having to do this side of the argument. I don't care. I quite liked it when you could tackle more than you can now. I'm not a fan of it. But that's the point. In that laws of the game bit, which is what the referees are going to be using, you're not asked whether you're trying to hurt the player. This is the bit. We've got this obsession with that. And that's why you and Gary and others are saying that ex-pros could add that. But it's not mentioned. Look up. Serious foul play.
So the rules are black and white.
It's not mentioned about whether
force.
You.
What is that? How would you
listen? You're always going to have to interpret that. But again, I don't know why you or Simon interprets that different. What you can interpret maybe is the intent, but the intent's irrelevant.
Yeah, but I still think excessive force, you can interpret it different to somebody because you've actually done it. You know when you're going in too hard. You know when a firm tackle is made. Sometimes you see a tackle made and a player will fly in and you think, some people might think, oh, he's gone in a bit too hard there. But being in that situation, you have to go into certain tackles at pace. There's certain tackles going, if you're this close to me, I don't need to lunge at you. I can almost make a block tackle, whatever you want to call it. But if you're, you know, where the TVs are or whatever, there's 5 metres between us, I have to build up pace to get to you. And then it's impossible, as Gary's saying, for me to make the tackle and then all of a sudden, oh, hang on a minute, I'm going to stop. You can't do it. And I've seen players sent off for it before. And I get it, you know, if you've not actually made tackles like that, or you know, you're looking at it and thinking, that's a bit too quick.
But Gary, is it the only way that this would work then in some fantasy land? Because by the way, and I do stand to be corrected, I'm not sure. VAR is in nearly every country apart from Sweden. I don't think ex-pros don't form part of the VAR team. That's not IFAB's aim at the moment.
Look how many complaints you've got about tackles and there's
for
people.
Sure.
And referees will probably need
Gary, here's an example. Anniesland has tweeted, so you can answer his point since you're for it. One ex-pro has one opinion and another has a difference in opinion. Simon wouldn't ask a ref to play it right back because he's been involved in the game. Stay in your own lane. What do you think?
Well, somebody's entitled to his opinion. I'm just trying to kind of think of ways that potentially VR could be improved upon. So I'm not going to tell that guy Anniesland that he's wrong and I'm right. It's all about opinions. But another thing I think that would help the VR and coming to the right decision is the images that the VAR officials look at.
Yeah.
They're all stills, they're all screenshots. And again, when somebody's legs outstretched and somebody's foot's at the other end of it, in that moment, it can look a lot worse than the actual kind of real-time incident was. So I think they need to look at what they're looking at as well and what they're asking the referee to go over to the monitor to look at. Because again, it's given a kind of false impression of the kind of ferocity of any tackle or challenge.
Definitely. No, I think that's a really important point. The referees would tell you, I think, that they don't only look at still images and the still image is used for point of contact. Yeah. That's why they do it. It definitely, I said this way before VAR came in, people used to tweet me still images of tackles and say, why are you not looking? And I always used to say, why are you sending me a still image of a tackle? So it should only be used in conjunction with the other footage. But the reason that they do it is for point of contact. Did he kick him or did he not? Same even with handballs. You know, they'll stop it. Does the ball hit the hand? That's why they do it. I think they definitely need to make sure it's not all they look at, which I don't think is the case. Maybe even the order.
Yeah,
you know,
the order.
Seen that before
the big
as well.
Thing for me.
You know, should that come sort of last?
Yeah.
Should you prioritise the full speed over the slowed down, those types
of considerations? Yeah, I think full speed should be first. I think definitely, listen, it's half a referee's, they're under massive pressure when they get called across to that screen. And I think one thing we have seen as VAR has evolved is that you're not seeing that still image first. I think there's been many occasions where, you know, the referee might be shown that first. And that's not down to them. It's just what they're being shown. I think now, like you say, Gordon, you see the moving stuff first, and then they'll be like, right, replay it right to the start. And then they might end with the still image. As I said, referees, you know, and anyone who's controlling
VAR. Is it taking away the option of common sense a little bit? You know, you always used to say the referee is going to show a little bit of common sense here. Now the rules are black and white. He's got to...
I mean, they're not, because you still, there's just words and you need to interpret them, but I take your point. It does feel that way.
It takes like a wee bit of that away
like
from
we've said
me.
About...
I mean, we discussed one before we came off here, on air, the Mother one, and it's you're describing it, it's coming over his head and his only focus is on the ball.
Yeah.
And he's blind to anything else going on, yet he gets punished for it, trying to control the ball coming out there.
But that's just what we said though, isn't it?
When I watched the Yang one, and people out there will say I'm biased because I'm going back to the Yang one, but when I watched that and the boy gets sent off, my immediate thought was that will discourage players further down the line to try and pull the ball out there in that way, because there's a risk of them going getting sent off. And I think that takes something away from football.
Yeah, but I wonder though if we're seeing in real time though the potential counterpoint to Gary's argument. I hope you as an ex-pro do see it that way, and I think that that's healthy. But the guys and the referees, their sole focus needs to be on the laws of the game. So the fact, and like, let's use Jack Vale then, right? Because that takes any, believe me, I would love Jack Vale to have gotten off with that red card last night. We need to be careful about how we're justifying that or trying to. The fact that he only had eyes for the ball, all this stuff, none of it is there in the laws of the game. So that's the difficult thing. So if you boys, you ex-pros, want to get involved in Gary's plan, going to know the laws of the game inside out, back of your hand stuff, the way the refs do.
I get that, but then I would argue some of the laws are wrong.
Yeah, but that's fine. But again, back to my speeding
you want
analogy,
to sit down and go over the rules and try and change the rule. Get
no,
a panel
you can't
in there.
Do that though.
And
that's the thing.
But that's what I'm saying. Do you go that to those lens to get X player? And
so all you can do is work within
what
the rules
enhances
that are
the
there.
Game and what ruins the game.
Well, I'm pretty sure, I would like to think IFAB at that level do take guidance. I don't really know for sure. But we're not talking about can we change the rules of the game? Because let's be honest here, right? There are limitations. We're talking about what could we do just to tweak VAR to make it improved? And I don't think the idea of X players is horrendous, but I don't think it's this fix that people think it would be.
I wouldn't say it's a fix either.
No, it's not.
We're looking for ways of improving this thing that's come into our game over the last few years that frustrates the life out majority, I would say. So we're looking to try and improve it.
You get any charity games coming up? You know you're big on these.
Yeah, why?
What one are you in?
Where are
I'm
you
just curious.
Switch the play. I'm playing Celtic. I've got one against Dortmund.
Right, you're in the VAR room and Willie Collins at number 10 for Celtic, right? And we'll just see how he goes.
No, listen, I'm not.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the referees have got it wrong, but we have to think of ways of trying to improve the football. And
I think they would want to help as well.
Yeah,
I don't think the referees, they wouldn't be against it. They want to be the best that they can be as well.
Sure, but you think there are refs out there who think, oh, do you know what, I really need an ex-pro telling me what to do right now?
No, but they probably think in certain situations.
If there are any refs out there who think they could use Marvin Bartley's help, give me a call.
I think they sit in certain situations, especially in the VAR room, and think, it'd be good to have somebody who's been in that situation. Yeah. Like you said with the Vale one, I get it. If he runs straight on and he sees a player coming, the ball's bouncing in the middle and he goes studs first, I get it. The ball is going over his head. So anyone who's played the game at any level understands you watch the ball and you want to control it. If someone so happens to be there, like that isn't the same.
See what you're saying, Gordon? You're joking there about Willie Collins and me being in. I've been in the VAR room. I was privy to go and see it at one point. And I wouldn't describe it as chaos, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. As Marv says, if there maybe was an ex-pro there just to give their version of what they're looking at, it might help. It might help.
Thank you, Gary. 01419511025. This would help. Let me tell you about this.
Clyde One. £1 million make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me a winner.
How good is this, right? David won £150,000 on Million Pound Make Me a Winner, which means he's going to go abroad on holiday for the first time ever.
Nice. That's class.
Honestly, so good, David. And if you've played the Million Pound Make Me a Winner, you've also helped support Cash for Kids as well. It's Cash for Kids Day tomorrow, where you can help those children across Glasgow and the West. We are trying to make sure no child goes hungry during the summer holidays this year. It is a real issue right here in our local communities. So do what you can, please. Make Me a Winner is the competition that does keep giving. It keeps changing lives. And we've got £175,000 up for grabs on the next call. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com. Where online entry costs £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are online. And if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings and say "Make Me a Winner" straight away to win £175,000.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Oh, we're ticking along now. VAR, three letters that spark wild debate everywhere you go, not only in Scotland, anywhere across the footballing landscape. So get your thoughts in. It's not just a random VAR debate. I know, I feel like we almost talk about it too much and then you let it become the main story. But today, the independent review panel, I'm struggling with that one tonight, has outlined 10 mistakes that they believe were made during the last round of fixtures. You can take them as gospel and therefore draw conclusions as to which team is hard done by and which team is not. Or you can disagree with them, because that's football and on we go. Ricky is on the line. What are your thoughts tonight, Ricky?
Hey, my thoughts are on VAR, but can I just ask you something, Gordon? I was listening on Monday night. By the way, good evening, Gordon, Sid and Marvin. Listening on Monday night, and you were mentioned about Andy Halliday being at a dentist and he was listening to Super Scoreboard.
Yes.
Is it possible to get that in Turkey?
You've been working on this joke since Monday.
No, listen.
He went to Turkey for his hair, not for his teeth. It was Turkey for his hair, remember?
Aye, after we met him back.
Oh, just a local dentist, don't you worry.
So, what I was going to say was, I was on a couple of weeks ago and I asked if we really need to have VAR. And the reason we've got VAR in Scotland is it helps our referees to get European games, because that's what UEFA probably for. Now, you mentioned when I was listening there that Sweden don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that deter their referees?
Well, funnily enough, no, because they do have refs going to major tournaments soon and we don't. I always thought that was a weird kind of communication point. Mm-hmm. That, right? Because I get why the refereeing fraternity cared that VAR would potentially mean that our refs don't get left behind and can referee in the biggest stage. I think that's a hard one for fans, and to any refs listening, I don't mean this in a bad way. You know I don't. I'll try and be fair. I don't think fans care,
mm-hmm.
ultimately.
Yeah.
And that's not why we've got VAR, by the way, but it was outlined as being like sort of one of the other factors that might, you know, benefit referees. So I don't think fans care. I don't really think it's beneficial to communicate it in that way, because that's not why we have it.
No, it's not. It's not the sole reason why we have it. But I think when you're putting something together and you're trying to not convince, but you're trying to outlay the positives through having VAR, then you, that is one of the things you add to it. As you said, like, do people care? Maybe 90% of people don't, but the 10% of people who do care, it's another point to have.
Sure.
I think before we had VAR, we were crying out for it and we were saying the referees needed help, et cetera, et cetera. This was never going to be a smooth transition. We've seen, you know, countries who have put a lot more money into it and have a lot more technology, et cetera, they're struggling with it as well. I think the referees, you have to give them a time of almost like going from not having it to now having it. You know, there'll be improvements made, they will evolve. And it has been hard at times, but I also think it has helped the referees. I think, you know, we've seen right decisions being made, we've seen goals disallowed for offside that would have otherwise been, you know, kind of allowed to continue. So is it perfect? No, nothing is perfect. It's not foolproof. But, you know, I think it is improving. I think if you do take it away now, like, you know, people saying, oh, Sweden are doing this, forget about what Sweden are doing. We're trying to make our game as fair as it possibly can. And we're trying to make the referees as best as they possibly can, but give them time to, you know, get used to it, because, as I said, they're not the only ones struggling.
Yeah, but is there not a contradiction in there, in the sense mm-hmm. that if you look at England, time and money doesn't fix it. That's the problem.
No,
time
no.
actually doesn't fix this. Every week, well, all I hear, you've got... I heard English pundits last week saying, Sweden are getting rid of VAR, could we do it? They've got all the money, they are years and years ahead of us, and they're still having the same discussions.
But there'll be example of countries who are using it extremely well. I think when
I do
you speak
think in
about,
UEFA competitions, it's a bit slicker.
Yeah, it's quicker,
I, listen,
isn't it?
I watched, there might not have been any need for it. I watched the game last night. Yeah. There was not one VAR.
I know. I'm torn on that because I saw that last night and I saw people saying, I just saw people saying, look how sort of slick VAR was last night. But it wasn't the most challenging game or no. it wasn't the most challenging. No. The incidents weren't that difficult. But to be fair, over the piece though, UEFA's use of it, it does seem a bit slicker. Less fussy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, the semi-automated offsides, we can't afford that. Forget that.
That is focusing just on our country. As you quite rightly said, just across the border, we watch it every week. The Nottingham Forest Everton won a couple of weeks ago. And
their chief of referees is out and saying their mistakes, much like our panel. But that would be the worry then, this notion that just give it a bit of time. England would suggest that giving it a bit of time isn't going to fix anything.
Yeah, listen, I think it will fix it. The more you get used to it, and we get used to it, because at the start, you know, look at the teething problems we had. It was taking far too long to make decisions. That time's now came down. It's them getting used to it. It's them getting the communication right. We've seen examples of, again, talking about England with all the money they have, the communication was wrong. We've seen it up here as well. At times, the communication's been wrong. That won't happen again because they learn from their mistakes, as players do, as coaches and managers do. So, but it almost seems that referees aren't given that time to get things wrong or, you know, make the wrong decision because there has to be a massive conspiracy around it or they're just not good enough. That isn't the case. They're going to make mistakes, but we're trying to make the mistakes fewer and fewer and fewer because it gives us a fairer game.
What do you think, Simon, about Sweden getting rid of it? Does that excite you that's a possibility? Yeah. It does.
It does for me, aye. As I say, I've not been a big fan from the start and... It's changed, I keep saying it, it's changed the way we watch football. I find it refreshing now to watch a game from, say, the Championship where if the ball goes, the goal, there might have been a mistake, but we celebrate, it's spontaneous.
Were you for VAR before it came into Scotland?
No.
I'm going to find a clip where you said you wanted to
Listen, I think there's things like the ball crossing the line and things like that, these definitive ones that are there, but the rest of it.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. Offsides are meant to be definitive. Know, and then everyone saw Coventry against Man United and said, but we didn't mean definitive like that because that's robbed us of a big moment.
Listen, I know. But you're going to get me on that as well. The offside rule for me is wrong as well. But
this man's want to rewrite the laws of the land.
Put him at the top.
Let's quickly squeeze one more in. Craig is in Balloch. How's it going, Craig?
Hi, thanks for having me, panel.
Pleasure. What's your take on this then?
So I'm a Rangers supporter, and there's been a few incidents that we've had go against us that at the time you could see they were wrong. But again, it's in the heat of the moment, the refs are under pressure. You can kind of understand that they'll still make mistakes. But my main two issues are with obviously the Sterling red card that was deemed not a red card by the independent VAR panel. And Cifuentes earlier on in the season, he got a red card for a very similar kind of tackle. That again, it was deemed not a red card by the independent VAR panel. Mm-hmm. Now Rangers appealed both of those, and both of those appeals were thrown out by the SFA, who had time, you know, in the cold light of day to review that. So my question is, who's wrong here? Is it the VAR independent panel, or is it the SFA that are wrong in terms of their interpretations of the events?
That is the problem, though, Craig. I said it earlier. What's right and wrong on a subjective decision?
Well, this is an independent panel that have kind of looked over it, and
the independent judicial panel decided not to. That the appeal wasn't successful, and I know I agree with you, right? Because it is jarring. You think, how can that be? But when you take a step back and think about it, if we are going to show decisions to a fresh set of eyes, we have to then open ourselves to the possibility that they won't agree with it. Otherwise, there is no point. If they were going to back up everything we'd seen before, that would be pointless, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Again, I'm not saying this through blue tinted glasses, but both of those incidents were 100% were never meant to be red cards.
What I would say is the Sterling one's very interesting, Craig. I'm glad you brought it up because if you remember, the referee, I think Don Robertson, doesn't matter too much, showed a red card. Mm-hmm. I think he was called to the monitor with a view to you've possibly got this wrong, but he stood by his decision.
Yeah.
Remember that thing that people say they want to see happening more often? I don't care what decisions are. I just want them to have the courage of their convictions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not if you do it like that. So I think that was one of them. I do take Craig's point that there's no doubt it is jarring, but I think it's the only way it can be also. I think it has to be the case. If you show a three-man appeals panel the decision, you then show a three-man review panel for VAR the decision, it has to be a possibility that they will view them different. It just has to be.
Yeah, am I right in saying that this one with like the ex-players, etc., there is a referee there like actually guiding them in terms of the rules? They're not just sitting like us three are here, no, are they?
And they're guiding. So I'd hold back in case I'm not being accurate. I don't know if it's a referee, mm-hmm, but it's
someone knows the
an
rules.
Expert on the laws of the game. So it will probably be a ref, a former ref, a member of the ref ops team, something like that.
Listen, I get Craig's point, but you're totally right, Gordon, when you say it, that, you know, if they're going to review these things and it's three totally different people, then, you know, they are going to come up with something different to, you know, when Sterling, for example, appealed his red card. And that's the whole point, isn't it? Like you said, those fresh set of eyes are looking at it, whether it's people who've played, etc., and saying, well, no, I don't agree with it for this reason. And I imagine that feedback's given to the referees as well. And listen, next time in that situation, maybe they'll make a different decision.
And that's before you even get to the annoying sort of detail of when you appeal something, it then becomes a slightly different question. You're not just asking that panel, did you think that was a red? You're asking, you know, did an obvious refereeing mistake occur, yeah, right, and then therefore to win the appeal? So the bar becomes different.
Yeah.
So I know this stuff's boring, I get that, but I think the detail is important.
Yeah, it's extremely important, like you said there, because so many people will be sitting at home shouting at their radios or their TVs if they're watching online saying, you're wrong, it shouldn't have been for this reason or that. But like you said, that you have to stick to the rules. If it, you know, if it is the rules there and it says that it's excessive force, as I keep going back to whatever.
I don't even mean
then,
that, because that's the bit that, you know, we can all debate.
Yeah.
But I just mean in terms of the makeup of the panels and so on, it has to be possible that what you think is, you know,
different.
And Craig has hit the nail on the head. Who's right and who's wrong? Well, right and wrong don't exist.
Whoever agrees with the decision that you want.
Subjective decisions. If you're shouting at the live stream as to why Simon Donnelly was looking so small earlier, I think he's fixed his chair. You're looking a bit
I don't think
more.
He has.
No, actually, it still doesn't look great.
I like the way he just switches the play there.
Great switch of play.
No, it's a smooth transition because we're done for the first hour. We're actually so late. I'm sorry, Craig. I'd like to have kept it on longer. We are so late for this. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, quick, Beat the Pundit. Lines close at 7 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. If you're just joining us, it was one of those Wednesday nights we think, like, maybe it's a little bit quiet, it's the middle of the week, but then there's a VAR story out there, and it was quiet at the start of the show, and then the more and more people got into it, these phone lines went red hot just before the news. If you want to keep going on that, you can do. We could flip onto something entirely different. We could look at the title race as we have been, or your plans for next season. It's awards time of the year as well. Managers, players, young players. So any thoughts out there, please do get them in. The Youth Cup final's on tonight. It's a big night in the SWPL, and it's a huge night on Beat the Pundit. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. David is on the line. How's it going, David?
Hi, all right. How are you guys? All right?
Not bad. So you've played before, David. Most people are on for their debut, but you've actually played before, haven't you?
I played twice and got scalped twice.
Oh, no.
Who did you play, David?
Keevans, I think I played Keevy twice, actually.
Do you know what's even better about this? He hates it when you call him Keevans. So he'll be in his man cave in Bear's Den, just rocking back and forward, unable to do anything about it. Fair play to a guy who lost twice to Hugh Keevans and admits it on live radio.
I don't think it's fair play. I think the fact he's called up on a Wednesday when us two are here is
shows what he thinks of
you. Fancies his chances.
Yeah. Well, let's find out.
And he'd be right.
Yeah.
Heads, it will be Simon. Tails, it will be Marvin. And it is heads.
Yeah, I thought it was heads too.
It's a Euro, so I was a bit confused.
Yeah, I'm about to say the old eyes are not what they used to be.
It is a head. Simon.
He's out of practice as well.
Oh, he's been in Qatar.
I was told if I win tonight, I go above Willow.
Do you go above Mark Wilson with a win tonight?
What a lot of pressure.
Would you say you came back from your journey with a bit of like a fuzzy head?
Yes.
Are you over it yet?
Not quite.
Come on, David.
5 days?
Yeah, but I'm getting on. There's
morning, noon, and night.
He likes to remind me every time I'm on here with him.
Okay. Right, what we'll do is give Simon some greatest hits radio to listen to. You know the drill, David, more than me. You've played more often than I've been in here, I think. But you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Let's go. Your time starts now. Celtic will play 3 friendlies in July in which country?
America.
Name the only current Rangers player who's been capped for England.
Say it again.
The only current Rangers player who's been capped for England.
Butland.
How many European places are up for grabs in the Premiership this season?
5.
Don Cowie played with Dougie Imrie at which Scottish Championship side?
No, pass.
Who's the only Premiership bottom six side with more points now than a top six side?
Aberdeen.
Okay, let's bring in Simon Donnelly. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Enjoying that bit of greatest hits radio.
Decent music.
Cool for cats.
Okay. 30 seconds, same set of questions. Your time starts now. Celtic will play 3 friendlies in July in which country?
America.
Name the only current Rangers player who's been capped by England.
Butland.
How many European places are up for grabs in the Premiership this season?
4.
Don Cowie played with Dougie Imrie at which Scottish Championship side?
Morton.
Who's the only Premiership bottom six side with more points now than a top six side? Who got relegated from the Scottish Premiership last season?
Dundee United.
Okay. David, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Not that clear. My boy actually gave me every single one of the answers.
You're joking. What's your son's name?
What's that?
What's your son's name?
Mason.
How old is he?
5.
14.
Just wait on that. He's 3.
Is he 14?
14. That's a good knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Celtic will play 3 friendlies in July in the USA. You both got it. You both got Jack Butland. David needed the question repeated and it held him back a bit time wise. But good. Your level, however, David goes in front. It's 5 European places.
You're better than that.
2 Champions League, 2 Europa League, 1 Conference League. None of you knew your old pal Dougie Imrie played with Don Cowie at Inverness. Remember Dougie Imrie phoned in and took you on at Beat the Pundit?
That's right.
And got beat. Do you know I knew he played at Inverness? Because he told me about his party lifestyle when he was there.
Oh, anything you can repeat on a family show?
Well, he
probably
told him
not.
He didn't drink when he signed. And then he showed him that he did.
There we go. None of you got it. The only Premiership bottom six side who's now got more points than the top six side is Hibs.
You're better than
after
that,
the weekend. So is David still leading by 1?
Yep.
By my count. Who got relegated from the Premiership last season? Dundee United. And we do go to
did David not get that tiebreaker.
Who did David get that far?
He was a pen, I don't think, anyway.
Right, let me just double check that we've not had this tiebreaker before. We've had issues with this in the past. Right, okay. You can have your
come
pen.
On Mason.
Right, here's the deal. I'm going to read the question. I'll get Simon to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, David, okay? Let's
yeah,
do
go
it
for that.
How many goals have been scored in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Jesus Christ, man.
No, that's not the answer. Quickly write it down, Simon, if you can. Okay, David, what are you giving us?
240.
Oh! 240, says David. 450, says Simon.
Terrible.
It's 5-3-9. Ah, ugly, ugly win.
250.
For Simon Donnelly. Ugh. He started off the top of the show saying it's all about just getting wins. Don't worry about Celtic and Rangers' performance at the weekend.
It's at that time of the season.
David and Mason, thank you very much. Hard lines. It's now a third defeat in the row. I don't know how that makes you feel.
I'm absolutely broken, but anyway.
David, blame Mason. It wasn't you, mate.
There we are. Always a bit of fun.
Take care, mate.
Especially in these most serious of nights when we're arguing about
VAR. Why did you make a face when I put... Were you not convinced?
I was like 600. I just put average 50 for each team. That's what I would have gone with. What was it, 5-3-9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good logic from you. I quite like that.
Chipping countdown. Good the numbers.
Play it.
Huge
another
news.
Horrible win.
Huge news tonight, though. It's the business end of the season. That win takes you above Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans into the Champions League spot.
Wilson and Keevans.
Otherwise known, though, as best of the rest. Because with that. No disrespect,
yeah,
Hannah, Halliday, Miller, untouchable.
Yeah.
Best of the rest.
I'm what, Simon Donnelly?
Where am
I'm
I then?
Happy to tuck it. You're down kidding? The bottom.
Miles off.
Happy to tuck in behind those three. Yep, that will do me.
Getting a slipstream. Wee man.
Keevans has been in touch. I'm delighted David got gubbed. Made my night. Says honestly,
oh, what a man he is.
Grumpier, isn't he? He really is.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he'll be back on Friday, not to fret. 0141 951 1025, that is the number you need, so please do get in touch with the guys. It's been sort of busy this week on just general thoughts on the title race and so on, but I guess tonight is a VAR central. But if you want to move on, I like this time in the season because we're like so involved in the here and now in the title race, but you also have to kind of think about next season. You know, we're doing that last night and who should stay and who should go and what impact the end of the season might have on that. So that's going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of weeks, Simon. It's not like you just wait until mid-July and sort those things out.
No, and obviously from Celtic's point of view, a new recruitment team coming in as well. So that will be really interesting to see where they look, you know, to try and improve their squad. And I think it will be like most seasons at these clubs, I think there will be a revolving door with a number of players leaving. And it also depends on how the title race finishes as well, you know, in terms of finance. But it will be interesting, yes.
Do you think Celtic have to trim their squad before bringing players in?
We've discussed this before.
Yeah,
probably just easier to work with, you know, in terms of numbers. You know, I think we've spoke about it on here before. Taking training, simple things like that, you know, and numbers being there. You know, there's injuries and different things, but yeah, possibly.
And how to separate, or should you separate the cold light of day and what you really think you need from what happens in the next couple of weeks? You've got a player, right, that right now you're like, I'm telling you, this guy is not up to our level. He goes and scores a hat-trick in the game that clinches you the title, or put, maybe one game's extreme, but puts in three top-drawer performances that win you that title. Are you changing your mind on him? You know, that is a possibility.
Yeah, it becomes a lot tougher a decision, doesn't it, to make, because all of a sudden, you know, the fans are actually behind that player where they might not be at this moment in time. It's, listen, people always say, no, you have to stick with your decision, et cetera, et cetera. But even with these games that left to play, Gordon, I think there's more than enough time for players to impress the manager still. Matondo's probably the perfect example, you know, over the course of this season of kind of, when he's been brilliant, he really, really has been good. And showing flashes of that, you think, if I can get that out of him a consistent basis.
More of an impact player, though, is he not? I mean, is he taking his chance when he started games? I watched the semi-final when he struggled.
Yeah, he, that's what I mean. He wasn't great.
He's on against Celtic and scores the fantastic finish.
Which he has that ability, and you think to yourself, like, can I get that out of him on a more consistent basis? Because he's still a young player. So he's probably one that's kind of up in the air for both Rangers fans and the management team. So there'll be a few players like that, definitely. If he can impact it over the last three or four games, then, you know, definitely they can change the manager's opinion.
It is 0-0 in the Youth Cup final between Rangers and Aberdeen. So we'll keep an eye on that. Some famous faces over the years have come through that final and went on to have great careers. Was that around in your time, Simon Donnelly?
We were more the Glasgow Cup and the BP. I think that was the Youth Cup BP, it was called back then.
Right. Did you play in it?
I don't think I got to the final. No.
Rangers Aberdeen tonight, so we'll have a wee, keep an eye on it, see how that one goes, but still goalless in the early stages. Some big games in SWPL as well. Celtic leading Glasgow City 2-1 at half time. Let's bring in Rob, who's on the line. How are you, Rob?
I'm good. How's yourself and the boys there, all right?
Yeah, all good. What are you thinking tonight?
I've just been listening to the whole debate about the kind of referee and the VAR, obviously all the stuff that came out today about the independent panel reviewing decisions. I heard you guys earlier talk about, or somebody made the point about getting ex-pros in the VAR room. I think no. I think let's keep that as far away as possible. I mean, we can all stand and watch aeroplanes flying around, you know, back when they go and fly one, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, Rob. You hear that, Marvin Bartley?
Mm-hmm. I'm struggling with the analogy though.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because players have played the game. Professional players have played the game. You're refereeing.
Have I refed it though?
Yeah, but it's...
Tell him, Rob. Come on, Rob. Rob, I actually don't even care that much, but I'm just on your side because it annoys these two. Give him another one.
My point I want to make then is basically it's about education. I think there's a role
there's definitely a role within football for ex-pros, definitely, when it comes to refereeing. And I think it's maybe about educating, maybe even fans, to a certain extent. I watch TV channels, I think you know which ones I'm talking about. There's two high-profile pundits, and all I try to do is point score week in, week out. All that does is kind of fan the flames, in my opinion. It also kind of makes people a wee bit paranoid about which referee is backing which team. Now, if ex-pros are in, if they're on these shows, and if they're educating the viewers as to why they think decisions are being made from a kind of neutral standpoint, rather than having an agenda, I think that might kind of help referees. I've been refereeing for 18 years. I make mistakes. Footballers make mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. It's part and parcel of the game. Maybe explaining why we're making these mistakes might help everyone.
Yeah.
So, Rob, do you not think that, say, for instance, you're in the VAR room, do you not think, I'm not saying about ex-pros refereeing the game because they're not there to referee the game, but you say, do you know the rules a lot better than me and Simon, 100%. But in certain situations, do you not think it would be helpful for you to be able to turn to your right or your left and say, do you actually think that's, you know, he's gone over the top there? Or has he made a genuine, you know, is that a genuine tackle in your eyes? Has he had to go in at that kind of speed or et cetera? Do you not think that would help you?
Well, that's why the referee, I think, as well, isn't it? I think you can tell referees have actually played the game a wee bit because, do you know what I mean? And that's my point, is maybe having the throws on the panel where he shows, but I don't think in VAR rooms, because I think games are refereed by the letter of law, but I think a lot of times maybe from a footballer's point of view, it's maybe looked at from a different angle which might not interpret the laws of the game, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but can I ask you another question then? So I'll take you to the Tynecastle with Celtic playing against Hearts. What do you, in terms of the two penalties in that game, do you think that they're both penalties, letter of the law, you being a referee?
Well, they've come out today, haven't they? They've come out today and said that they aren't. So,
yep.
So I think you need to stand by that decision. If I look at them, mm-hmm. looking back at them, at the time, in my head, I thought they were soft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the time, looking at it, I thought they're both soft. Even the sending off, perfectly speaking, I thought they were soft. And that's come from a totally neutral standpoint, do you know what I mean? And if people were getting sent off for things like that, if penalties were getting given for things like that every week, then the game's gone, in my opinion.
Rob, what's your view on VAR in general? As a ref?
I think it's more pressure for refs, and I think it's also taking out the fun. It's taking out the... It's kind of devaluing the role of the referee a wee bit, in my opinion. Yeah. I think the referee, what about the old analogy, referee's decision's final? That's not the case anymore. A lot of the time, games have been re-refereed in a room 2 to 10 miles away or whatever, and it's taken away that impulse, the kind of the thing that we all love as footballers, the passion, the mistakes, the impulse of decisions that are made. That's part of the game, in my opinion. VAR thing now.
I agree with you.
And that becomes then an entirely different argument, doesn't it? Because we're getting bogged down today in how many was right, how many were wrong. Yeah. Oh, but that appeals panel said that, and the judicial panel said this, and this team's had 4 go against them, that team's had 3 go against them. Maybe none of that's the point. Is it worth the hassle? That's maybe the bigger
That's why I asked question. Him. It's interesting. Rob's a referee. It was interesting to get his view on it and his feelings on it, that spontaneous level when you're watching games and stuff, and he's saying the referee's decision's final. I get all that, and I think that has been taken away, and it probably is putting more pressure on the referees now with VAR.
Again, to go down a road that always probably leads us places we don't want to go, but I think Rob made a point as well about allegiances now in England. This comes up a lot in the show. Why don't refs in Scotland declare their allegiances, which we always point out that in an ideal world, brilliant. But if you're in a country that the vast majority of people are Celtic or Rangers fans, it's never going to happen. There are possibilities.
I can see his view there as well, because if it's myself, imagine what it would be.
Society,
if it's a Rangers, ex-Ranger, you know, I can see that. I mean, we only have to look to the Nottingham Forest when they were suggesting the VAR guy was
a
Luton fan.
So we're in a scenario where we want refs to declare allegiances, and even if they do, judging how we view things here, we probably won't believe them, because that's just the way it is. You're not really a Motherwell fan. Yeah. Who's your big team? Yeah. Heard that before. Just once or twice in the last 10 minutes. So we would do that with refs.
Yeah.
Then you go and add ex-pros onto some sort of panel. You might pick an ex-pro.
Good for the show.
I mean, can you imagine? Here's one. Right, I've got one for you. You can put Kenny Miller on it because he's played for Celtic and Rangers.
That, there you go. You're so
everybody will be happy. Won't
now
be?
You're thinking.
You know,
are you smiling?
Exactly. Tongue in cheek. Guys that have played with loads of different clubs, and then as you're seeing with the. I thought what was particularly ludicrous amongst all the madness of that Luton thing was the accusation that, okay, this guy is a Luton fan, so he shouldn't have been allowed to do the game between Nottingham Forest and Everton. Okay, so you're not allowed to do your own team's games. You're not allowed to do the games from teams round about. But also, a draw was probably the best outcome for a Luton fan then in that game. We didn't even stop to think about that. Everybody just said, oh, he's done this because he's a Luton
fan. Doesn't suit the agenda, does it, thinking?
You then start twisting everything.
You would
tie yourself in the most ridiculous knots.
What about if
you
just don't know who's in the VAR room? What about that?
We'd find a problem with that as well.
No, but because it takes it all away.
Transparency, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, but if we're worried about, like, saying,
but we're not, though. But,
well, certain people are.
No, I'm talking about, listen, the referees thing is, I think that's genuinely impossible here.
Yeah,
people can correct me.
I totally agree.
But I'm talking about the idea of ex-pros being involved.
Yeah.
So what do we do there?
Just don't say who the ex-pro is.
Oh, that's all we need. More suspicion.
What's the Masked Singer? Kind of.
What is
that? I thought I'd heard it all.
Sit
so
there,
you know,
with a mask. That'd be brilliant.
And he reveals himself at the end of the season.
Yeah, we're getting.
just so that we're clear here, you think in Scottish football, the capital of suspicion, the answer to our VAR woes is to have anonymous ex-pros involved in the process.
Yeah, well, the people...
That might be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
The pros who sit on, or the ex-pros who sit on the panel who say that was the right decision, that was the wrong one, do we know who they are?
No.
Exactly. So it's exactly the same thing. And no one calls up on this show saying, well, I bet one of them play for Celtic, I bet one of them play for Rangers,
this is
or another big team, I bet one of them play for Hibs.
This is a retrospective marking exercise.
But still, it's
because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't influence the outcome.
Yeah,
but it's
to
like...
To stand here today and say, oh, I think that Iwata's handball was the wrong decision, that doesn't influence it. So it's not the same
thing. Everyone supports someone.
That's a daft comparison.
That's where we are. People are paid to do a job. It doesn't matter if, like, you have to trust people's integrity at times. They support someone. That happens. You're there to do a job. Go and do the job. It doesn't matter who you support. It doesn't matter who's in there. We're trying to get help for referees, for example, or make our game better. So someone supports Celtic or someone supports Rangers. It happens.
But anonymous ex-players would be the end of us. This phone in with... No, I can't. Well, I'll resign before that happens, just for a quiet life. And I can hear you all cheering out there, but there's no need for that. That was over the top. Thanks to Rob. I love the plane analogy. I'm going to keep that up my sleeve for next time, and we'll be back after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. They've been Googling how to get their pilot's licence during the break after Rob and Knights would put them in their place.
Simon's got his own plane, man.
I think, right, bear with me. I know this sounds radical. I think we've got a call on something other than VAR coming up in just a second. Don't want to tease you too much with that, but let's give you this question first.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Okay, thanks to Dino for sending this in. A take, I think, a twist on a question that we've probably had before, but can you name the last 8 non-Scots to be sent off in an Old Firm game? Can you name the last 8 non-Scots to be sent off in an Old Firm game?
Beaton.
Correct. January 2021 for near Beaton.
Ryan,
I thought you were talking about John Beaton there, and we were back to the referees. my head was gone.
Did Ryan Kent? Ryan Kent? Did he get sent off? No.
There was a Rangers one recently.
Yep, you're right. December. Still there, still playing.
Goodness me.
Oh, it's ominous if you can only get one at this stage, I have to say. Not good. Not good at all.
How far are we going back?
Rangers was literally second last
game. Yeah, we're only going back to December for one of them. But you've got the near beat on. He's the second most recent. If that
was
makes
sent
sense.
In December. What was the scoring of game, sorry?
Celtic one. It's the one where.
Right, so which team is likely to have had the red card? It was late on. Have you settled on which team it was?
Rangers.
Right, okay, right, sorry. So, just throw a few names at me. No?
Balogun.
Yes. There we go. Only was needed it? To throw one. There we go. Brilliant. Okay, well done. Leon Balogun near Beaton. We'll get back to it. Thanks to Dino. What Dino did, he came up with that question and he emailed it to fulltime@clyde1.com. It's as simple as that to get involved. Kevin is the saviour tonight. He's not on about VAR. He's got something else in his mind. Take it away, Kevin.
How you doing, boys? All
right,
Kevin.
I don't know why we can't be bothered talking about VAR. That's not my cup of tea.
Fine, go for it.
It was mainly a question for Simon. How you doing, Simon?
I'm good, Kevin. Thanks.
Well, so obviously you watch it's probably just as many Celtic games as I do, right up close, but it's the... I think the biggest bit of business we need today is obviously the goalkeeper, Simon Knight, but see the wingers this year that have been brought in and during the summer. Now, how much of a hand Brendan Rodgers had and the others apart from Palmer, I don't know, but it's been really disappointing. I know the jury's out in Palmer and Kunde now, but it's not been good enough because usually the wingers come in at Celtic and we're not used to them hitting the ground running. We've got three wingers that have been brought in the summer, and two of them, as I say, the jury's still out. They're just not doing enough consistently. And Yang, that shows fits and starts what he can do, but to me, he's just not good enough. I think he maybe needs a wee loan spell away somewhere. But I think the wingers have been that poor this season for us. That needs to be a priority position in the summer, and it needs to be done early, because obviously with the Champions League starting early, if we win the league, that is all going well. With the Champions League starting, we need to get these guys in early, because I think it's a big reason in why Kyogo has been quiet this season. Hatate's been out this season, obviously a lot injured, but if you take into the account the season before, he had Hatate, Abada and Jota feeding them the balls through, and this season he's just not had that, especially out wide. Yeah. So I think if we get better quality wingers in, you'll probably see a better Kyogo back to his old self next season.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a fair point. I think this season we've seen the wide players in fits and starts. I think Palmer's numbers, particularly early on, were decent. I think he's got 9 goals or something, and probably similar roundabout assists. Kuhn, at the beginning, I think, was written off, I think, a wee bit unfairly. He's come in, he's showed flashes, same as Yang, but they haven't hit the ground running as effective as the guys before. And I think that maybe goes against these guys as well, because you mentioned players there. I forgot about Jota. They had scribbled down Maeda and Abada. They all came in and had such an impact, a positive impact, creatively, assists, goals, almost immediately, every one of them. And I think these boys, you know, have been compared to them a wee bit coming in. Whether that's affected the likes of Kyogo's performances, I think there's been times get the advantage. I watch Celtic most weeks, and you know, some of his movement's great, and maybe they just don't see it at times. You know, when Maeda's in the team, he seems to be an under, and Maeda doesn't do anything complicated. He'll push it by the defender and use his pace and get crosses in. But I think some of these lads need a wee bit more time rather than write them off immediately. But I think they will, as I said, I've experienced it at Celtic myself, they will be looking at, with the new recruitment coming in, all positions, so they'll have players breathing down their neck, definitely. But I would say that'll probably happen in most positions.
What's your take on it, Marvin?
Yeah, listen, I agree with some. I think, you know, Maeda, etc., coming in and they settled in straight away. I think you've now got that expectancy from fans when anyone else is signed that they have to settle straight away. Like, football's not always like that. Sometimes it takes a player one game, as we've seen before. Sometimes it's a whole season, and you don't see the best of them until kind of the second season. So I think it's too early to start jumping a gun and saying, well, we need to replace these players, they're not good enough, etc. Because what happens if you bring the next crop in and they need a season to, you know, you always be chasing your tail. So I think, listen, if you've seen enough in them to sign them, and Brendan believes they will be good enough once they do get up to speed, then you keep them at the football club.
So it's a good job for James Forrest right now, is what you're telling us, Kevin.
I think it is. I think that
I think I was on a couple of weeks ago and I'd said it would be probably a wise decision to have James Forrest in, the starting 11. And I think it's a big... You can look at it for two ways, right? You can look at it as, you know, oh, it's a masterstroke for Brendan Rodgers bringing in Forrest, he did great. Or you could look at it as, from my point of view, maybe a wee bit more sceptical, saying, well, it's a bit embarrassing, that the fact that we brought in all these wingers and you're relying on a guy that's hardly kicked the ball for nearly two seasons to get you out the mire. That's the way I take him. He's a brilliant, been a brilliant service to the player, to the club, but you shouldn't have... He should really be winding down. We shouldn't be relying on him. That is what I'm trying to say. He's a veteran now. We should be relying on other
Kevin,
players coming
see,
in to look into the future.
So you see that as a completely negative thing? I look at it
the
other way.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Because James has had his fitness issues this season, injury issues. He's come in. I thought he looked really sharp at the turn of the year coming off the bench. He scored a couple of really good goals, which I think catches the eye. And then he comes in the semi-final and was excellent. And after that, I think the six games later, I thought he'll go and play the last six. There's a freshness about him. People have, I don't know if they've touched about it on the show, there's people I'm sitting with at the weekend saying, now that the Scotland squads went to 26, all of a sudden he could be back in there. I think you need to look at that as a positive. He scores two great goals at the weekend. To say that's a bad reflection on all the other wingers at the club, I think, is a wee bit harsh.
Can kind of see both sides of that, Marvin.
No, I'm in.
I know you're a positive. Look, it's great for James Forrest, yeah. And well done. And maybe it showed that he should have had a chance sooner. But ultimately, you've got to have a bit of sympathy in Kevin's point in that. Had the recruitment worked out the way it was intended to, then he probably wouldn't have played.
Yeah, well, I think you play who you ever think is best for the game. At this moment in time, Brendan...
No, but that's Kevin. Kevin's point is, why aren't the others best for the game?
But it might be relying on his experience. They don't have the experience that he has. He's been over the course. How many medals has he won at Celtic Football Club? And you're in a position now when you're in a real title race and you think, do you know what? Maybe I'm going to play the most experienced one because he's going to be the calmest one in these situations. Yeah. As Simon said, he chips in with two goals. Not saying that it means he's the best one, but he's the best suitor for where they are right now.
That's the point, because he wasn't needed this way at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's again
for
it's
obvious reasons.
Yes, yeah, it's a different situation, though, isn't it? Like at this point last season, how clear was Celtic of Rangers?
Yeah. But that's why I think that's what Kevin's saying.
Yeah, but they're not that clear this time. So
do you think he'll go to the Euros, Kevin?
Listen, just before I answer that, I'm not being negative. What I meant was that. Had the recruitment worked out the way that it should have worked out, and had the board got their finger out in January, James Forrest probably wouldn't have been anywhere near the first 11. And it's not because he's a bad player; he's a great player, but it's because we're looking to the future. So I don't see it as a negative. But on the positive side, he is. If he came in, he did great, and if he continues to play great in the next six games, then all you can do is credit him for having that attitude to play brilliant. Yeah. And yes, if he continues to play well, he should be on that plane. Considering the injuries we've got, I definitely should be.
If it's 26 plus injuries, it's almost getting hard to see. It would almost be more surprising if he didn't.
In a way,
or if it's not him, then certainly Ryan Fraser or
timing. I'm watching. I can't remember the games. I think it might have been St Johnson. He scored a couple of good goals. And all of a sudden, you're more prominent in the mind of the manager, possibly. Mm-hmm. He's working with him day to day. He's come in. I think he likes his sparking. I know Aberdeen took Celtic all the way in the semi-final, but he had a big impact, positive impact off the bench. And then he comes in and scores two goals and a really important one at the weekend. And all of a sudden, folk are talking about him for Scotland again. I think the other lads, to answer Kevin's initial question about do you think they'll look, I think they will look at that in the summer. And then if they bring other ones in, I know Marvin said you have to remove people, but these guys all have people breathing down their neck, so they have to perform, they have to do it week in, week out.
Thank you to Kevin. Can you name the last eight non-Scots to be sent off in an Old Firm game? You've got Leon Balogun and Niir Beaton. They are the two most recent. Any others?
Goldson?
Nope. Any sort of memorable ones, you know, kind of big games or... I mean, I know they're all big games, aren't they, but...
Joey Barton?
No.
Siminovic?
Yes. Okay. In a game that Joey Barton was involved in, though.
So the only, I think probably the only one he played, that was the five, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Celtic, Moussa Dembele hat-trick, who did get sent off for Rangers. Another player with quite a big
reputation.
Yeah, kind of profile, CV, played for some big clubs. No, okay, I'll leave that with you. Simunovic, Beaton, Balogun, we'll get the rest, and Sean is going to be on the line next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are on the final stretch. We just spent the break talking about baby reindeer like everybody else in the world is. So you finished it.
I've finished it.
I've finished. And you're
three episodes in.
Honestly.
Strange show.
Incredible.
Strange show.
It's dark. It's a train spotting a bit, isn't it? It's got a train spotting.
Madness, sometimes I'm just laying there thinking, what am I actually watching here?
Oh, it gets weird. If you're only three in, it gets weirder. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It gets darker.
I'm not sure if it's got my full attention going, if I'm honest.
I need to focus in and report back next week. And I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's not seen it. So there we go. Can you spoil a true story? I don't know. We move on before I say something I regret. Sean is coming up. Just a quick second. Who are the last eight non-Scots to be sent off in an Old Firm game? Balogun, Beaton. Any others during the break?
Morelos.
Yes. Oh, you got Simunovic as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yep. Four down, four to get. Any more? No. Moving on. Okay, Sean's on the line. Take it away, Sean.
Hi guys, how are we all doing?
Good, you?
You're right, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
I just wanted to talk about, obviously, the VAR situation that's come out today in regarding the situations that have been listed on the incorrect decisions. In my opinion, we hear about all these people saying, oh, refs just need proper training and they're not used to how it actually works. They need to change it. I think it needs to be a matter of, they should be using it for a matter of fact, offside, and if the ball's over the line, because then there's no, oh, I think it might be a penalty, no, I think it's a red card, because that's different for every referee and how they perceive it on the pitch. So why not just take that fact away and just rule it for stuff that is impossible to deny that is correct, such as offside if the ball is over the line.
I personally wouldn't mind it, Sean, but I'm obliged to ask you, the first time that your team plays and somebody gets decapitated by the opposition player, it's behind the ref's back and all they had to do was go and look at this monitor to assess the red card, but they don't do that because that's been taken away. Are you going to feel as comfortable with your notion that it should just be offside?
Well, we had it before VAR was in. Like, things happened on the park and the referee's not noticed it, the linesman's not noticed it, and it's went on, people have talked about it, but they get over it. But it's the fact of it's the referee's decision at the end of the day. It's not the person who's not even on the park, who's just watching it through a monitor's decision.
Yeah.
Because how many times have you seen They go to VAR, he gives a penalty and ends up changing the game, even though it was potentially going to go in the other team's favour. And it's just, you feel like it's almost taking control of something that the referee has full control of.
Listen, I think in isolation, Sean's speaking my language, and I get that. And you want, you know, made it too fussy clearly, but I will go back to it. I feel like we'd all be comfortable with that until there's something that's just so blatantly, stupidly obvious. And all you had to, because it's human nature. See the ones that we're arguing about, obviously they're the marginal ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course they're the marginal ones. That's why we're arguing about it. But I just feel like we would be selective. We would then wait. We would all say, listen, oh, no, we'll all accept the referee's decision's final. And then you go, that happened behind the ref's back. Why? You know, all we had to do was go and check the monitor.
I don't think we can go back completely on it. As Sean said, maybe we can streamline it a little bit, but I don't think, you know, the right thing is to go completely back on it, as you said there, Gordon. Something springs to mind, Aberdeen playing Livingston, I think it happened on two occasions where there were penalties given where the player's hand, Jason Holt was one of them, hand was far too high and he blocks, and the referee doesn't actually give it initially on the pitch because it happened so quickly. But when you look back, it is like you say there, it is blatant, you know, and there wasn't, you know, any sort of problem with it from either team, so it definitely helps. Listen,
to be fair to Sean though, he's saying, look, but the referee's decision used to be final, why not go back?
But we used to moan, didn't we? We used to complain about that as well.
But is this worth the hassle of them, what it does to the game in terms of reducing the enjoyment of the spectacle because of the delays and the lack of
celebration when you score. That would be the difference then.
Yeah, that's the only thing that does really frustrate me. There's no way of really getting around that, is there? Is like when sometimes people celebrate, like Simon was saying, like a massive goal, and then all of a sudden it's ruled out because somebody's offside by an inch. You know, that's something that never used to happen. You hear managers speaking about it now. I don't celebrate until VAR have cleared it, which takes the kind of excitement out of it. And same for the fans. But if it's the right decision, I think it's the right decision.
I'm unsure. Because we spoke there about the... in the break about the Coventry Man United incident, where you're saying, yeah, the lines are drawn. But for me, and I go back to maybe the offside rule, but it takes something away. And listen, you used the word hypocrite, because I remember watching Partick Thistle recently with Brian Graham, had two goals, and if VAR, you know, it would be different. But I just think it takes something away from the whole way we watch.
I think that's totally fine. You know, I think that is fine. And if you say, well, it's just,
and I know what you're saying,
it,
something happens behind the referees, and we come back to that retrospective, but it obviously wouldn't affect the game as it was currently getting played. I get that. But it just, for me, it takes something away from football.
I've said, look, honestly, personally, I wouldn't mind that. I would not mind. But what I'm trying to foresee.
Sean was just, he's what, just offsides?
Yeah, and goal line. Yeah. That would not affect me negatively in any way. But I just don't want everyone to pretend they'd be okay with it when they really wouldn't. Just the same way as we pretended that we'd be all right if VAR got it wrong, because at least we can get another look at it. That's what we did before. Yeah, the whole thing is just...
We're never happy, are we, as football fans? We're never, especially happens against your team. I think there's been more incidents with penalties that have been looked at again, and the right decisions, you know, come to rather than the wrong decisions. So
I'm glad you said that, because we've got to 9:58 and no one has mentioned that on that list of 10 was that Motherwell should have had a penalty for handball against Aberdeen.
Yeah.
So nobody's... See? And the St Mirren fans, they are officially... according to the panel, which is subjective, you might disagree, the most hard done by team in the league.
Three.
I don't hear much suggestion of there being an anti-St Mirren conspiracy out there, but the numbers are there, and the panel, they've been the most hard done by this season. So there you go. Because that's then the new thing. So at the end of the season, St Mirren were the most hard done by team, even though they're still subjective. But it becomes this like set in stone. So I get why we've wanted to publish this list. It's transparency. It's for learning. You know, can't mark your own homework, get someone else to do it. But in many ways,
I remember being on the show when they said there was only three mistakes, and we were all kind of having a laugh at it, saying just three. Now it's went the other way.
Yeah,
and saying it's too many. What it has done though is it's almost added like a legitimacy to, you know, something to complain about, really. Yeah. You know, rather than just somebody's opinion. Oh, hold on a minute, you've now got this official panel that states St Mirren were the hardest done, and so and so is getting away with this, that, and the next thing.
I'm just happy it was St Mirren that were at the top and not Rangers or Celtic, because that would have been.
But it could easily be, because that's just the point.
Just the point. Yeah, you're right. But I'm just happy for this, Gordon, that it wasn't.
But the next time it might not be. One of them might overtake in the next round of fixtures. Anyway, thanks to Sean, who brings that to a close. Maybe, Sean, maybe you'll get your wish one day. We wait and see. It is goalless in the Youth Cup final between Rangers and Aberdeen at the break. So maybe a kind of cagey affair. I've been to a couple of those Youth Cup finals, and I think they actually can be. It's a massive occasion. It's at Hampden. The pitch is huge.
I remember
the TV cameras.
V someone has goals every 5 minutes.
I was going to say the punditry on that.
The flip side was that one was mental.
Just goal after goal.
Was it Rangers? No.
It was Celtic Rangers. It was incredible.
Constant goals. What a game that was.
So we're paying for that one. We're in one of the cagey years this year with the
6-5 or something.
It was something crazy. No one wanted to defend.
Yeah, that was quite something, wasn't it? The last I checked as well, a potentially huge result in the SWPL, because Glasgow City were holding Celtic 2-2, which of course would... Yeah, it's still 2-2 with about 7-8 minutes to go. So that could have a huge knock-on effect at the top of the table. Rangers are kicking off a bit later, and then Celtic and Rangers meet on Monday. So the title race heating up there as well. Right, quickly on the teaser, you need a few more non-Scots to be sent off in an Old Firm game. You've got Balogun, Beaton, Simunovic and Morelos. Oh, your miles.
Helander?
No.
Senderos.
Yes, that's the one that we're trying to allude to earlier. What about League Cup final, Celtic player sent off, penalty Rangers. Tavernier doesn't take, Morelos does, misses. Who gets sent off for Celtic? He's now going on to have a wonderful career, and he is on the up. Yep, that's Frimpong. Him. Frimpong, okay. Terrible tackle out on the touchline, so much so that his manager Steven Gerrard is raging with him about it. Injures himself, I think.
That's what I was thinking, Ryan Kent. He does well. Injure himself. Does he not do his?
It's a winger.
Knee. Yeah. Rangers player does his knee in the tackle.
Former Kilmarnock player.
Jordan Jones.
So Balogun, Beaton, Frimpong, Jones, Mel Siminovic. That's way back, 2012.
That's you, sorry. That's pre me.
Celtic of Rangers.
Rangers, American.
Edu?
No. I think he played for Fulham as well.
No, it's not Dempsey, is it? What position did he play?
Centre half, I think. Yep. Bocanegra, Carlos Bocanegra.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he did play for Fulham.
Yeah, thank you. All right, thank you, Marvin Bartley, Simon Donnelly. Back tomorrow with Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson from 6. We will see you then.